This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad to be in this place with all of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. We hope that you have a chance to meet the folks sitting around you. One of our practices is to sign in on the registration pads, and hopefully they're already making their way down the row. And if you sign that pad and let us know you were here, and also pay attention to the names of the others on your row, you'll have an opportunity perhaps to meet someone new this morning. For those of you who are visiting, if you exit after worship through this door, you'll come into Reed Hall, and there's coffee there and an opportunity to meet other people, and we hope you'll come and join us in that space this morning. The month of August begins this week, and with the month of August come new programming kicking off Wednesday nights and youth ministry and all of those things. So I want to highlight some of those dates for you. On August 9th, which is a Wednesday, we're going to have an open house downstairs in McWhorter Hall to try out our new food service, Barley to Rise. They will be providing our Wednesday night suppers this year. And it's an open house from 5:30 to 7. Come and try some of the food. And Brandon and our families and other staff members will be there to meet you, and it will be a good time of fellowship together. And then on August 23rd is our official kickoff of Wednesday nights. Dinners will be served starting at 5:30 all the way until 6:30. I'm sorry, 5 o'clock all the way until 6:30. And we'll have a kickoff program to talk about our children's choirs and our adult options. So that's August 23rd. I hope you can be here. Our youth ministry will have their big kickoff on Sunday, August 20th, and there'll be details about that published soon. So lots of ways during this time of year to get connected if you're new to this congregation or you'd like to find some new ways to connect and be in ministry. I invite you to consider those options. But now it is the hour of worship, and God has called us here to sing and praise, to hear God's word, and to respond with our lives. This morning we hear the story of the mustard seed, a really short story, but it has a lot of power and truth to invite us to move toward God this morning. So let's open our hearts and minds as we worship together.
Thank you. worship, knowing that God has called each one of us here. Come, knowing that Christ is here beside each and every one of us. Come to be set free to respond to the Spirit's work in the world.
We come to be equipped for service.
Come, let us worship God. Let us confess our sins in one voice to the one who searches us and knows us. God of mystery, God of life, we imagine that we are capable judges of power and wisdom and goodness. We trust our own standards. We separate and categorize. We mark the performance of others. We fail to trust your power hidden in all things. We fail to watch for you working out your purposes. Gracious God, hidden and manifest, transform our withered imaginations until we yield the judgments we trust to a love we cannot control. Sisters and brothers, God loves us, forgives us, and frees us from our sins. Therefore, be at peace and love with boldness and generosity. Please join me as we pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
After being seated, we invite all the children of any age to come forward if you haven't already. Good to see you all this morning. I hope you enjoyed some outside time yesterday. It was a beautiful day yesterday, wasn't it? We actually spent some time doing yard work, which is good because we've been talking about gardening and farming a lot in church the past few weeks. You remember we talked, if you were here last week, about these parables that Jesus told, the stories that he told about what it's like when God is in charge. And this morning he tells a story about a mustard seed. Have any of you ever seen a mustard seed? I brought a little baggie that has some in them, and I had to tape one to this card because it kept rolling off. Can you even see that? Isn't it so small you can't even see it? I bet they can't even see it either. It's really, really small.
So Jesus tells a story about how a farmer planted this little bitty seed, and then it grew into this wonderful 6 foot, 9 foot tall plant. Jesus says that that's the way God works. With even the smallest things, God can do wonderful things. So you all are still children. You're not as big as you're going to be when you grow up. And some days you may think, I'm so small. I can't drive yet. I can't make my own decisions. I don't know if God can use me right now. But the truth is, God can use the smallest mustard seed, and God can use you too. God can use you to love other people and to help teach grown-ups what it looks like to love and be kind. So never think that God can't use you even though you're small, because God can turn a mustard seed into a mighty plant. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you notice and care about even the smallest things, even the little bitty mustard seed that some might overlook can become a grand plant. And even us, though we feel small sometimes, you can work through us and do wonderful things for the sake of your love. So we offer ourselves to you today, in Jesus' name. Thanks for listening. You can go back and sit with your parents or grandparents or friends. One of the things I love about the parables of Jesus is how he is able to pack so much wisdom and truth into a tight little simple story. And that's especially true in the parables that we hear this morning, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. Now this morning, I really just want to talk about the mustard seed parable, because there's enough in these two verses for us to explore the rest of our lives. It's a parable that's only two verses long. We've heard it from the NRSV translation, which is only one sentence. There's a semicolon, but it's just one sentence. And in this one sentence, Jesus reveals to us layer upon layer of truth that can teach us and inform our lives. There are lots of different ways to get into this parable, lots of doors we could walk through to talk about it. We could talk about how small the mustard seed is. And as I shared with the children, how God notices and cares about the very smallest thing and can transform it into something that spreads the kingdom of God in the world. We could talk about the mustard seed as that early Christian community, which started as a few dozen people in Palestine and now has exploded into a global church. We can talk about the mustard seed as our faith. Jesus says in another place in Matthew's gospel, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. So we could look at that angle. Or we could go to the end of the parable where Jesus says that when the plant grows, the birds come and make nests in its branches, which reminds us of our calling as the people of God to be a safe place for others to come and belong. So all sorts of ways to get into this parable. But I tell you what drew my attention this week. As I pondered this parable and prayed over it and listened to it, there was one word that jumped out at me, grabbed my attention. And so I want to draw your attention to it this morning, if you will. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a farmer planted on his land, and it grew, and the mustard seed becomes the greatest of shrubs. Wait, what? Shrubs? If there is ever an underwhelming word in the English language, I think shrub would be it. And it's underwhelming in the Greek as well. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. Shouldn't Jesus be comparing the kingdom of heaven to a great California redwood tree? I mean, I realize in the Middle East in the first century, there weren't a lot of grand trees, but there were at least the cedars of Lebanon. Could Jesus have not have said, the kingdom of God is like the great cedars of Lebanon that are magnificent and... No, a mustard seed that grows into the greatest of shrubs. So what is Jesus up to in this parable? What is he trying to tell us about the kingdom of God by comparing it to a shrub? How is it he's trying to surprise his audience with this word, shrub? I think it was very intentional on Jesus' part. So as I wrestled with that and thought about it, I realized that by choosing the shrub, Jesus is being consistent with the way God has acted throughout all of Scripture. Again and again and again, God chooses the unlovely, the unimpressive, the ordinary, the weak, the invisible ones easily overlooked, to carry out God's plans in the world, to advance the kingdom in the world. When God was ready to call out a people on the earth, to be God's chosen people, to share with the world what God's will was, God started with Sarah and Abraham. Well beyond childbearing years, never been able to bear a child before. And God chooses them to be the ancestors of the people of God, the chosen people. And then when those people grow, they spend 400 years in slavery. So God chooses this band of slaves to be God's chosen people. And from among them, God raises up to lead them to the promised land a murderer with a speech impediment. And when they get into the promised land, you know the story of Gideon in the book of Judges? Gideon is raising up a mighty army to fight their enemies. He wants an army that looks like the cedars of Lebanon, and God keeps telling Gideon, it's too big. I want you to pare down your fighting force. Pare it down, until it's a little shrub of a fighting force. Why is that? And the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, were always those who were either too young or had a checkered past or a troubled marriage or whatever it might be, these unlikely people chosen to speak the word of God. And when the time was fulfilled and God was ready to become flesh and become one of us, the Son of God was not born to Queen Cleopatra or the wife of the Roman emperor or even the wife of the high priest. He was born to a peasant girl who wasn't even married yet. Again and again and again, God chooses the unimpressive, the unlikely, the shrubs. And there are times in those stories when God explains why that is. In the story of Gideon, for example, God says, if you were to defeat your enemies with a mighty army, you would take the credit yourself. But with this little shrub of a fighting force, when you defeat your enemies, you will know that it is through the power of God. When Mary asks, how can this be? How can I be the one to bear the Son of God? God says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and I will make it happen. And the world will know that it was only through my power that the Son of God has come upon the earth. When we get all impressive and too large for our britches, as my mother used to say, we start taking the credit ourselves and we forget who is the author of our lives and where the power really resides. This parable hit me pretty hard as I read it. I have to confess to you this morning, I've been trying really hard to be impressive. You know, district superintendent calls and says you're going to West End United Methodist Church. Oh, wow, really? I'm being sent to this church that has such a long tradition and reputation for ministry, and gee, that feels pretty good. And in my first couple of weeks here, I'm motivated by trying to do my best so that you will like me and be impressed by me, and so God will be impressed, and trying to earn my place here. This was all going on within me in my first few weeks here. And then I went to camp meeting. I shared with you last week, if you were here, this family reunion that we have, where we go to church twice a day. It's an old Methodist revival. And our preacher for the week, toward the end of the week, one of the evening services, actually gave an altar call. That doesn't happen much anymore. But he said, you know, this altar is a place for you to come and give yourself again. Even if you've given your life to God again and again, it's always important every day to wake up and give our lives again to God. And I felt so convicted in that moment. I felt God saying to me, this ministry that I have called you to is so not about you. And it's not about being impressive. It is about being faithful to God. And so I walked forward and I knelt at that altar. And I want you to know that I have prayed that this ministry that we have together will be guided by God's grace. And it may end up being sort of messy. It may look kind of like a shrub sometimes. Or it may grow into a mighty, magnificent tree. But that is up to God. Our responsibility is to be faithful. If we look back at all those heroes of our faith, Moses and the prophets and Mary, they argued with God for a while, and they sometimes had their motives upside down, but ultimately they were each able to say, here I am, Lord. You take the lead. So God may be calling each and every one of us today. God is calling each and every one of us today. And you may be caught up in trying to please God or prove yourself or be impressive. Or you may be caught up in the other end of things, thinking, I'm not worthy. I don't have the skills and the gifts. I can't do ministry. Either one of those arguments with God needs to fall away. As each one of us finds a way to say to God, here I am, just as I am. Do with me as you will. It is a prayer we need to make as a congregation together. Here we are, God. The future is yours. Do with us as you will. Our Wesleyan tradition has handed down to us a beautiful prayer that gives us words to say just that. And so what I'd like to do is to invite you to a few moments of silence, to listen and reflect in the presence of God how God is nudging you and calling you to ministry, to follow God, whatever direction God is leading you. Maybe some of you could take this time to be praying about how God is leading us as a congregation. We'll spend a few moments in silence, praying and reflecting, and then I'll invite us together to pray the prayer that's in our hymnals called the Covenant Prayer. invite you now to stand as you are able. Turn in your hymnals to page 607, where we find our covenant prayer. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. As those who have once again given ourselves to God and been received as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer signs of peace and reconciliation to one another.
Good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. We are so glad to have you here. We extend a special word of welcome to the guests among us. And if you would like to join us for coffee, you can enter through the doors to your right. That's Reed Hall. There'll be coffee and a time of fellowship. Look for somebody with a blue name tag. Those are our Andrew ministers, and they have been trained to tell you more ways that you can be involved in this congregation and welcome you. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. Please record prayer requests and indicate if you would like to receive a call and put contact information there. In a few moments, you can put it in the offering plate. Also, please take a moment to record your attendance with us. You'll find a pew pad in the center aisle. You can pass that along. See who you're worshiping with and know their name. We have a rose on the altar this morning in celebration of Ethan Wallace Laird. He was born July the 9th in Verona, New Jersey. He is welcomed by his grandparents, David and Jenny Laird, siblings Sophia and Grant Laird, and grandparents Cheryl and Alan Patton. We offer our deepest sympathies to three families this morning. The family of Richard Thomas Hagee Jr., who died July the 1st. Among his survivors are his mother, West End member, Dixie Hagee. And John Allen Duke died July 11th in Franklin, Tennessee. Services were held in McMinnville, Tennessee on July the 14th. And also Alexander G. Al Swinston died July the 21st. Among his survivors are his daughter and son-in-law, Nancy Swinston, and Kurt Berger, and his grandsons, Brandon and Drew Berger. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your creation and the ways it reminds us of your love. Help us to take care of creation and meditate on your beauty within and through it. We ask that you awaken us to the seeds you are planting in our lives. We especially thank you for the small and insignificant seeds, the small ideas, the limited vision, the parts of ourselves that do not measure up. We know that whatever you have planted in us will become great, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. We ask that you would grow our roots deep into the earth to be fed, that those roots would find sustenance in our community, our study, and our service. Guide our growth so that we might spring up from the earth into mission and loving influence in this complicated world. May our branches stretch out into the world, bringing peace and mercy, participating with your presence that is already there and working. Help us to bear good fruit that nourishes hunger, gives energy to God's move in the world, and provides sweetness to our lives. May you plant us, grow us, and sprout us, all in the name of our faithful gardener, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. Let the giving of God's tithes and offerings serve as a tangible way of bearing witness to the gospel in the world.
go forth now to bear fruit of God's love in this world, to offer shelter to those who need it, to offer forgiveness to the unforgiven and love to the unlovable, to notice those that the world might find invisible, and to do all we can to be faithful each and every day so that God might use us to spread his kingdom in the world. Go in his peace.